gospel reading is from Matthew chapter 16, starting with verse 13. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. So the year was 2015. I was a junior in high school. And it was just one of those days that you cannot really anticipate. I noticed very quickly that something weird was going on. All my friends and classmates were gathering around together and showing each other their phones and arguing about something. And I didn't have a phone at the time, so I had no idea what they were looking at or what was even going on. And then all of a sudden, it happened. Someone approached me, came up to me, grabbed their phone and showed it to me and asked me this question: "What colors do you see?" And this is the picture that I was shown. "What colors do you see?" So of course I replied, "It's blue and black." I'm sure many of you probably have no idea what the meaning of this picture is at all, and didn't experience it, but I can assure you, this year in high school, this was the most important topic of discussion for pretty much the entire year. That's because this dress, yes, it's black and blue, but over half the people you'd ask what color this dress is, they would say it's white and gold. So the great debate of that year began. Is this dress actually black and blue, or is it white and gold? So now I want everyone who sees black and blue on this dress to come over on this side, and everyone who sees white and gold go up. I'm just kidding. All joking aside, this dress shows us how easily we can disagree with one another. So when we go back to the reading from Matthew, Jesus asks his disciples a very simple question: "Who do people say that I am?" And his disciples tell them what they've been hearing. Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. So the issue at hand that Jesus is getting at is that people just are confused about who he is. They can't seem to fully agree on who this Jesus guy is. Kind of like the issue with the dress. People couldn't agree on what color the dress was. People could not agree who Jesus actually was. There seems that there's some type of consensus that Jesus, in some sense or form, is a prophet of some kind. But other than that, people are just all over the place on who Jesus is. Even John the Baptist himself was not certain who Jesus was. If you recall, he even sent his own disciples to come to Jesus and ask him if Jesus really was the Christ or if he should be expecting someone else. Herod thought that Jesus was just John the Baptist raised from the dead after he had John decapitated. The Pharisees thought Jesus was a servant of Satan. And on more than one occasion, Jesus' own disciples have no idea who he actually is. They're all witnessing the exact same person. They're seeing the same signs and miracles. They're hearing the same teachings. But they're coming to different conclusions. Again, it's like the example of the dress. They were all looking at the same picture, but they were seeing different colors. They were seeing different things of who Jesus was. But I want you to understand that it's not like the people who were confused because they were stupid. We can easily sit back and be like, well, how did they think that Jesus was Elijah or a prophet? That makes no sense at all. They actually had legitimate reasons to think that. If you look back at Elijah's ministry, he himself raised a widow's son from the dead. And interestingly enough, Elijah and Jesus both went to the same region, and there they met a woman who gave them water. So, and this is just a few examples. There's many examples where Jesus and Elijah do very similar things. So it's not a ridiculous conclusion to not to wonder who this Jesus guy is and notice that he's doing things that are very similar to what Elijah did. And then thinking, well, maybe that's who this is. Logically, that makes sense. But regardless of the conclusion, the one thing that remains certain and true is that people just don't know. People don't know who Jesus is. Despite all that has already taken place in Jesus' ministry, it's clearly not obvious to the people who he is. It's almost like the default condition for humanity is to be blind to God and not notice when God is truly present. It's like the human condition is to look at a blue and black dress and conclude that it's white and gold. Why is that? Thankfully, we do actually get an answer to that question. Jesus tells us why there has been all this confusion with his ministry. But first, he turns the question to his disciples and asks them, "But who do you say that I am?" To which Peter replies for all of the disciples, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Peter gives the correct answer. Jesus is not John the Baptist raised from the dead. Jesus is not Elijah or another prophet. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus tells Peter, "Blessed are you, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." The reason for all this confusion on Jesus' own identity is this very thing. Flesh and blood does not reveal who Jesus is. Only God the Father does. That Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one, the one who has been set apart, the Son of God, has been revealed to his disciples by his Father. Interestingly enough, it wasn't revealed to the religious elite. It wasn't revealed to the high priest or the Pharisees or the Sadducees, but God chose to reveal this truth to simple men from Galilee while they were as far away from Jerusalem as they likely could have been. And then Jesus provides Peter and the rest of the 12 with a promise that upon them and upon their confession that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that he will build his church. Not only that, but the keys of God's kingdom will be given to them as well. And that simply is the authority to forgive sins and the authority to withhold forgiveness. Again, Jesus does not promise to build his church upon human understanding or reason, but upon this very confession of who he is. And as Jesus promised it, so it came to pass. After Jesus ascended into heaven, He sent his Holy Spirit to his disciples, and then they began to proclaim who Christ was to the world. And Jesus built his church on the confession, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And upon the apostles themselves, who guided and directed the church as they were led and moved by the Spirit. And now we look in today's context, and we see that we as humans are still blind to God, just like in Jesus' day. Who do people say that Jesus is now? Some may still say a prophet. Others might just say Jesus was some moral teacher, maybe a fictional character, even Satan's brother. The world remains the same. We do not and cannot know who Jesus is unless God opens our eyes and reveals that to us. But perhaps even worse than that, of not being able to know who Jesus is unless it's revealed to us, even worse than that is we who are a part of the church, who hear God's word regularly, who are baptized, we know who Jesus truly is. We know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, yet we do not live like it. We know Jesus is our God, yet how often do we live like we only have to be accountable to ourselves? How often do we look to ourselves as God, where we think we are the ones in control of our lives? How often do we become so consumed with the busyness of our own schedules and our lives and our desires that we act as if those things are more important than God who gave us these lives to begin with? The truth is, we confess with our lips that Jesus is God, yet we live like he's not really our master or our Lord. And honestly, if we chose to summarize all of the sins and all of the wrongdoing that we do into one word, it would be simply this: idolatry. The breaking of the first commandment, "You shall have no other gods." Martin Luther himself loved to describe gods as anything that we put our source of comfort and trust in, anything that we put in the place of God. So with that definition, we quickly see that we put so many things in that rightful place where Jesus himself belongs. We see that we daily fail, even with knowing who Jesus is. We ourselves are no better than Peter himself. Peter, who just a few verses after this section in Scripture, argues to Jesus and is rebuked by him. And of course, the same Peter that we know goes on to deny Jesus three separate times in the courtyard. And yet, that is precisely who Jesus came for. People like Peter. People like you and me who fail daily. It is for you that Jesus came. And he showed you and me exactly what kind of Christ he came to be. Not a Christ who politically liberates his people, but a Christ who lays down his life for sinners, for you. And that is just what he did. Jesus willingly walked the road to Jerusalem, where he would be stripped naked, where he would be hung on a tree like a criminal, and where he would be killed. And on that cross, Jesus bore the full wrath and punishment of God. And he bore that wrath and punishment for the people who killed him. He bore that wrath and punishment for his disciples who abandoned him and betrayed him. And he did that for you and me, who fall short and fail to keep his commandments. On that cross, Jesus shed his blood and poured out his blood for you, that you would be marked by this very blood in your baptisms, and that you would receive this very blood in the sacrament of the altar for the forgiveness of your sins. Because Jesus is the Christ who never abandons his people. He daily and richly provides for us with his word and sacraments. It is this very Jesus who we confess is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Like the disciples who came before us and those who will come after us. And it's this very confession that changes everything for us. If Jesus is the Christ, then we don't have to save ourselves. We don't need to try and attempt to control everything in our lives. We don't even need to hide away all of our sins and pretend like we're perfect. Instead, we can humbly come and lay everything at his feet, knowing that he has already shed and laid down his life for anything that you and I could ever do. So back on that fateful day in 2015, when I was asked what color I thought the dress was, that was a very important time during that year. But we ourselves are asked something even more important every single day. Who do you say that Jesus is? Thankfully, we know that the answer to that question does not change. It doesn't change like the colors of the dress did depending on the lighting. Even when we fail to live according to the correct answer, Jesus remains. Who he was then is who he is now. The Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen.